Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my lovely lady and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, tada, my love, and Erev Tov to you all. We have been refreshing ourselves on how to properly disciple new believers with good study habits. Last week, we looked at some typology, as in future pictures from Abraham and Isaac. Next week, we'll look at the Jewish betrothment and wedding and relate it to us. And this week, we'll see some other typologies. But first, let us bless the Lord.
O Lord, our God, creator of all things, we bless your holy name and all your names. We are grateful to have been birthed into your spirit and washed in your blood. Thank you for our many blessings. And may we never complain when life gets tough, but cherish those times as our offering unto you. We lift up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved ones. We pray for the Iranian people and for Israel as they endure their battles against evil. Give our leaders your godly wisdom to fulfill your will. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Meetings failed today concerning Iran.
Yes, in Switzerland with Jared and Witkoff and the Omani foreign minister, as well as President Trump weighed in indirectly, but no deal. And they're expected to meet again maybe next week as we wait for the USS Ford to arrive in the Middle East. And by the way, we should take all public statements with a grain of salt, because much rhetoric is flying around as we feel both sides are killing time.
Last week, Bibi met with Trump.
Yes, and many feel Trump gave Israel the go-ahead to start hitting ballistic missile sites if talks fail.
And we know they will, as they did again today.
Well, then we will have no choice but to get involved, as we are Israel's main ally. Then the Arabs can blame Israel and save face. Unless Iran starts a war first, since just this morning they fired a few missiles into the Strait of Hormuz, where they have been conducting live fire naval drills since yesterday, which has temporarily closed parts of the strait.
And what about Gaza?
Well, there's surely no peace, that's for sure. The latest I heard was they have started to remove the massive rubble from the streets amid the ongoing clashes. Also, the IDF continues to hit Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and pretty hard, as they are violating the ceasefire rules. And the Board of Peace will have its first official meeting on Thursday to advance phase two and to ultimately bring in peace and security, or at least claim it for a while. And I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, we are living in some amazing times.
You think?
And we have another but difficult matter to address.
Not so difficult, but different. It's time to point out that we are seeing the formation of the 10 kingdoms described as horns or crowns, talked about in Revelation 19 and Daniel 7, all thanks to Trump's tariffs, because it is pushing nations to join together, utilizing their own trade and currency. You know, many years ago, the Club of Rome divided the world into 10 regions. Some of you might remember that.
Yeah, you can look up the picture map on the internet.
Yeah. There is already the EU that joined decades ago. But now we see China, Japan, North Korea, and Russia, with Iran, if not overthrown, as another region. We can also see Australia and New Zealand, with South Africa about to join them as well. Another is Southeast Asian region, which already has a name called the ASEAN Union, with Thailand, Singapore, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Myanmar, also using its own currency.
And this is taking shape all because they fear Trump.
Basically, yes. Now do you see even more clearly why God spared his life? He is the man to take the world where we need to be for the Antichrist to take over when it's his time.
Well, the cashless digital society is here.
Right, and people seldom use cash anymore, and soon you won't be able to anyhow. And all this just takes my breath away.
So, maybe the rapture next year.
Or this year.
It
sure could be, for the groundwork is being put in place. And it is only February.
We do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is very much appreciated, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your gift of love on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are archived for your liking.
Okay, as we have been saying, there are a few very important truths to keep in mind when discipling your new believer concerning scripture, as in
to accept the literal meaning of words and statements.
Unless, of course, it says it is like something else. You know, I've heard a few teachers admit that their own error mostly occurred when they hadn't taken it literally enough or out of context. A classic example of that is the sons of God in Genesis 6.
Yeah, you know, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm, saying it meant they were the descendants of Cain, while ignoring other scriptures, as in Job. Using other confirming scriptures to aid one's interpretation provides guidance from doctrinal error of thinking it means something else while ignoring other scriptural confirmation or factual evidence of proof.
So keep this in mind, that scripture interprets scripture.
It does. And this is where your center column references plays a huge role.
Well, using a concordance too.
Yes. And another point is to consider the times in which the Bible was written, which was a turning point for me and sparked my desire to have at least a little knowledge of the culture and the history of the people for a better understanding. We also need to take into account the reason it was written as well as the circumstances of the writer.
As in what they were doing at the time.
And know that God did not reveal everything to man in the beginning.
There is a progressive revelation.
For sure. The Holy Spirit reveals certain truths at his discretion, saving certain details for his last generation.
As confirmed by the angel Gabriel to Daniel in chapter 12.
Amen. By the way, a good example of why we look up words in a concordance would be in John 3:16.
That whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life.
Do you know how many people are aware of that scripture and say, sure, I believe in Jesus and that he was here, but often are unaware of what to believe in him really means? So, if you look up the Greek word believe, it's number 4100, pistuo, and it's defined as putting one's trust into and commit to it.
And it's even more precise in the lexicon.
Yes, with a more contextual meaning, which reads as a conviction and marking entrance into a state of mind, a pledge of total obedience. So share that with the next person who says they believe, if you question their commitment. So let's look at the character of the Holy Spirit concerning his role in our understanding of Scripture. God, through his Holy Spirit, inspired the writers of Scripture, and he illuminates our understanding as we diligently search his word. Key word here?
That would be search.
Yes. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 2 of his first letter speaks about the hidden wisdom that is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he hides the wisdom for us to find.
Which is why we talk a lot about Proverbs 25, too. It's the Holy Spirit who illuminates at his discretion as we search the scriptures.
So, at the proper time.
Which is why we are understanding more truths today in a deeper way, which are not new truths, but rather not illuminated until now. His last generation, that's us, and he'll continue into the millennial kingdom to those humans during that time. It's a happy time when we can say, wow, I've never seen that before. So with that said, don't only rely on the Holy Spirit to open your eyes without your arduous study. As J.I. Packer said many years ago,
the Spirit is not given to make Bible study needless, but to make it effective.
So true. Okay, now is a good time to do a search by examining a little more deeply what Jesus, just before his death, said to his disciples about the coming Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Key words here.
All truth.
And especially the word all. Continue.
For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears.
From the Father.
He will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
Wow. Now stop for a minute to digest that. He said, take what is mine and declare it to you. Obviously, we know the Trinity works hand in glove, but the real point here is that Jesus said that after Matthew 24, verse 36, when he had said,
no one knows the day or the hour but my Father.
This is a perfect example of taking into account the time something is communicated. According to the Greek language, that statement of no one knows the day or the hour, at that time, when Jesus said it, was a present tense statement, meaning at that time, no one knew. But then we see later in his ministry that Jesus tells them that the Holy Spirit will come and then guide them into all truth.
Again, notice the word all.
Amen. So did your light bulb just go on? He was again speaking to his disciples, of who would be writing the New Testament under inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
So he's revealing truth to us as well.
He sure is. That the Holy Spirit at his discretion will reveal any truth he wants to. Which, as we pointed out last week, we call that progressive revelation.
As the Spirit sees fitting.
Yes. The Holy Spirit unveils needed truths from Scripture for those particular times when needed, especially to the last generation. So when people say to me, oh, no one knows the day or the hour, I explain that meant not then, at that time, and give them John 16:13. So bottom line, the more we study with diligence, as Paul said to Timothy, the more we will know as the Spirit also grows in us. Therefore, increases our knowledge to include his return. Not the specific minute or hour, but certainly the season, as we know it's in the fall harvest, according to James chapter 5.
And we need to study the whole Bible, not just the New Testament.
Well, a certain must to see typology.
Which can be a lot of fun.
I think so. Which is why we do read the whole Bible and not just the Torah like the Hebrews did, therefore missing his first coming. Oh, they would read like one certain passage from the prophets on Saturday at synagogue.
But never Isaiah 53.
Right. And most still don't comprehend it correctly, if they do. And if you recall, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not recognizing his arrival.
And those who do study the prophets usually get saved.
They do. And praise the Lord. Many are.
We are glad the Essenes studied the prophets.
God always has his remnant, which is why they left the bad Pharisaical teachings and went into the desert of Qumran,
which we have visited and is definitely a wilderness.
We should also point out that we are seeing a similar neglect in most of our own churches today. Even some born-again assemblies are admitting they don't teach the prophetic books because it's too divisive.
But there's only one truth.
Right. So examine the divisiveness and then reprove it by using the methods we have been discussing. But honestly, in my opinion, laziness comes to mind.
Because it's more time-consuming.
Especially when a pastor can now acquire any sermon they want on the internet in less than an hour. But again, thank the Lord he always has a remnant that teach prophecy correctly. Sadly, though, there are false teachers out there. Or, when teaching on prophecy, especially Revelation, it often is surfacey, lacking depth, and frequently miss the typology, especially concerning the seven churches. But as we said, there are some who do pretty well.
Amen. Anyhow, time to move on.
It is. Let's look at some other types.
As in the bronze serpent.
Okay, from Numbers 21, where the people were grumbling about their situation. So God decided to give them really something to grumble about, and he sent them biting snakes.
Who bit many, and they died.
So the people repented for complaining. Then God told Moses to lift up a bronze serpent on a pole. So those that were bitten by a snake, they could look up at it and live.
You know, that's a great typology.
And Jesus himself references this event in John 3, 14 and 15, stating,
just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
Jesus took on their sins as represented by the snake. And now anyone who looks to and believes that Jesus takes away all sin by his death can have eternal life. In other words, instead of us dying in eternal fire for our sins, we can have eternal life because he died in our place.
Hey, you know, Noah and the flood is another great typology.
Actually, at least three or four. It's a type of baptism. And a type of how God preserves the 144,000 during the next coming judgment of the tribulation, as well as those new believing tribulation saints who make it through and into the Messianic kingdom. And then there's that typology of the three Hebrews in Daniel chapter 3 who live through the judgment of the fiery furnace. And many don't realize when reading it casually that Daniel is nowhere around there, which is a type of us being removed in the rapture prior to the coming fiery judgment.
Yeah, and you know, Adam was a type of Christ.
Oh, yeah, in Romans 5, verse 14, Paul explicitly calls Adam a type of Christ, meaning he prefigures the one who was to come. Adam represents humanity's fall and the entrance of sin, while Christ, the last Adam, brings redemption and life as Adam once had, 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible also says in 1 Timothy 2 that Adam was not deceived, and of course neither was Christ, but Adam gave up what he had because he loved Eve, a type of the church, so much that he wanted to be with her forever. So Adam willingly became sin for his bride, as Christ became sin willingly for us to be with him forever in eternity.
You know, that's quite a love story.
The greatest story ever told.
What about Joseph?
Actually, he too represents many pictures. He was betrayed by his brothers like Jesus was betrayed by his fellow Jews.
Sold into slavery.
Like Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver,
Joseph was falsely accused, as was Jesus.
Joseph suffered and was imprisoned like Jesus suffered and was arrested and bound. Praise the Lord, Joseph was eventually exalted to save his family. Mirrors Christ's ultimate exaltation. Joseph said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good," Genesis 50, which echoes the redemptive purpose behind Christ's crucifixion, where they intended to harm him, but it was meant for good. And when you read that story again, you're going to find even more pictures. And so many other biblical stories, in fact, just about all of them.
You know, I like the one about Jonah and the whale.
As Christ also referenced as being dead for 3 days and miraculously shows up alive. And in 2 weeks on Purim, we'll look at the book of Esther, lots of types in there. But next week we will look at the Jewish betrothment. So here's the teaser. Our betrothal to Jesus matches the three different ways for a Jewish betrothal to take place in the first century. Remember, things have changed since the first century, especially during the diaspora and the Dark Ages. That is why we study how it was when Jesus walked and his ancestors in the Old Testament. So a quick example of that is they did not wear yarmulkes in Jesus' day, and although at age 13 they began observing religious practices, they did not have bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs ceremonies as they do today, even for girls. But think on this for next time. First came the betrothal that could be arranged by either the father, even from infancy, or the young man himself. He could ask for her hand, or an agent, as in a matchmaker. So look for those typologies concerning those three ways, and we have them definitely in the Bible that we'll look at and cover in detail next week. But now it's time. What about you? Are you listening to this program just by accident? If you don't know the Lord, repent and invite him in, for he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Turn your life over to Christ. He's your Savior. Then read his word for total sanctification, strength and power over your enemy when you read the word. Because he wants to torment you and he wants to pull you back. Christ suffered greatly for you. He was crucified for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins so that you don't have to pay for them yourself. I know you can hear his voice, but it's your move. It's always your choice. So don't be a fool. You too can be the beneficiary of this love story, which was written in blood on a wooden cross, erected in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. And he said he'd be back in 2 days, which in the Bible is 2,000 years. So you're running out of time. Get on your knees right now. Ask him into your heart. Don't waste this time. He is coming. And if you're just a milquetoast Christian, get in your word and get totally sanctified. You're going to need it. We can still have some rough days. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So till next time, sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Pray for her peace, because he can only have peace if Jesus comes. And if you love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper. Okay, that's Psalm 122, verse 6, and I hope you all have that memorized. So tell someone about Jesus, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.